Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Like with anything, there are myths and truths to planting and caring for trees. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for stopping by and doing some myth-busting for us when it comes to trees.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get the first one out of the way right away. Keebler elves don't have a cookie bakery inside a tree?
Unfortunately, I think it was a union issue, and they busted that whole thing up, man.
So there wasn't room in the imaginary tree. It was a union issue.
Sadly.
All right. So myth or truth, anyone can plant a tree.
That is true, but incorrect planting of a tree, it creates just this long list of troubles. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of the money that was spent. It's a big injustice to nature.
And what constitutes an incorrect planted tree? Is it the location or the way the hole's dug, all of that?
Yes.
Neighboring trees?
Yes. Yeah. Right tree, right place kind of violations, if you will, are the biggest problem. Not conducting proper planting practices, like not watering the tree the day you plant it, gives you that, doing that one thing gives you a 70% increase in the likelihood of successful planting.
Just watering it
the day you plant it, yeah.
What about newly planted trees? Should they be staked? Is that a myth or is that a truth?
There is mostly truth to it. And so tree staking is a practice that maintains a straight tree planting. So when we plant a tree and we set the root ball in the hole, the exception to this is bare root, of course, but all the other categories of planting, when you let go of this tree after you've placed it in the hole and you've pushed a little dirt in there, it should stand up straight at that time. You should start that way. And then the staking maintains that straightness. Now, stakes shouldn't stay on forever, but they should be installed correctly at 3 or 4 with a cushioned wire or tie down. And if you don't have a cushioned wire or tie down, a flat type strap is best, like with a hammock.
Sometimes I've seen people run the wire through an old piece of garden hose.
That's a great practice. That's a good practice.
I've planted two trees or had trees planted in my yard, and neither one of the red buds, neither one of them were ever staked, and they just grew straight. And I don't recall whether it was windy or not after it was planted, but I think they were planted well enough that the wind wasn't a factor.
Well, I think that your explanation demonstrates the judgment that you took in deciding to not stake these trees, because a lot of times you can get away with not staking a tree because there are factors there at play that protect the tree from moving around in the wind. Now, when the tree blows around in the wind, there's a phenomenon called feathering, and it makes the buttress area and the lower trunk and the buttress roots stronger. Hmm. And that's why you see these interesting flares in lots of tree trunks, a little elephant's foot. And the more dramatic the flare is, the more the tree is demonstrating how it's flexing its muscles for us to see. It's anchored itself to the ground. If you leave the stakes on too long, you screw that whole thing up.
You've weakened the tree, in effect.
If you don't put stakes on, you need one weather event and one weather event only to make the tree planting start all over again. And you might have tore away from the soil or the walls of the hole that you dug.
Some new root growth.
Yeah, you might have just damaged that by leaving it unstaked.
So let's talk about pruning. Flush cuts are bad. Truth?
Man, they're the worst. They're a tree killer, and it might not happen overnight, but it's going to happen for sure. There's a bark collar on all branches of all woody plants and trees, and you need to understand what the bark collar is, branch collar is, and where it's at. You always want to cut outside of this, but you don't want to cut so far outside that you leave a stub.
Because that stub will rot.
The stub will.
And that causes problems.
Either one. The flush cut, more so than the stub, the flush cut takes away some of the mechanisms that are in the tree at that branch collar that allow the tree to heal from that wound. When you do the flush cut, also you expose more of the trunk that was shaded by the branch you're just now cutting off. And that branch was also a roof or an umbrella for the area that you've now exposed, and it won't heal. It's going to collect water when it rains. There'll be some water infiltrating between the bark and the sapwood. Canker is common with this kind of condition, sun scald, wind scald. the long-term repair that the tree has to fight when you do a flush cut is something the tree will fight for its whole life.
Pro tip here, correct me if I'm wrong, I always undercut a larger branch when I prune it so it doesn't split and tear the bark off as it comes off the tree. So I undercut first, then cut from above, and that gives me a cleaner cut.
That's an excellent way to do it on many points, Mike, because one, it does prevent a disaster of having this hangnail that tears away,
right. But
it's also safe for you also to take the weight off the end of that cut before you make that final cut, which is the most important one.
My grandfather always pulled out a icky-looking jar of tarry-looking stuff and painted it on the cuts that he made on a tree. Later in life, I thought, well, that looks like a good idea. You're protecting the tree. I got the spray can version of that, and someone at some point told me it was just a waste of money. So pruning sealer, good or bad?
Pruning sealer is an interesting deal because it was kind of motivated by good intentions. But the fact remains is that when you paint anything on the wound, you interfere with the natural processes of healing. And I say anything because I've seen people try various things. I've seen arborists use a piece of charcoal to lessen the appearance of this big, fresh, new white-yellow cut.
So that's aesthetics.
Yeah. And that washes off the first time it rains. But the real fact is you should put nothing there and you allow for air and sunlight to help that healing process take off.
Just like any wound, for the most part, on a human body.
Indeed. Yeah.
Plant trees that will grow large as they mature at least 25 feet from buildings or power lines. That sounds like a long ways away. Is that a myth or is that truth?
It's true. It's not as far as you think, right? So I'm 6 feet tall. That's three or four of me, head to toe from the wall. It's not that much. And the real price that one pays there is related to the first myth we talked about, is the where it's planted has a lot to do with the longevity and whether that tree will remain there. And also too, if you're practicing integrated pest management, which is done on lots of campuses and lots of professional gardens, you want to eliminate this so that you don't have animals going from the trees to your buildings. Mm-hmm. And also too, buildings always need work and they get updated, and if the trees are inside that 25 feet, there's conflict.
No, nobody wants a raccoon in their attic.
No.
Roots are the most important part of a tree or woody shrub.
That is false, because all the plants work important together. And I think a lot of people think the roots are the most important part. So no matter how terrible the pruning job is above ground, the roots are going to take care of it for me later. That's not accurate.
And if they're cut, if big roots are cut, they'll grow back or not?
They will grow another root, but it won't regenerate what was cut off or tore off. So it's just like cutting a big branch off. It's not just immediately going to grow a big branch off back. It's going to start with this little tiny shoot, and it's not going to be bringing in much water. It's not going to be doing much to anchor the tree to the ground either.
Topping looks awful. Is it a myth that it's not also awful for the health of the tree?
It is awful in appearance, and it's bad for the tree's health.
That's right. So what is topping? What is pollarding?
Topping is when there's just arbitrary cuts made at a certain point to reduce the height, width, or spread of a tree or a woody plant.
So a lot of times when it says topping, they're just shearing the top of the tree off.
It's unmistakable when you see it, and everyone has the same cringe-type reaction. Pollarding is a little different. They may look the same, but pollarding is a pruning technique or practice that's used to create a dominant leader, you know, the central stem that runs up the tree, and it's a common practice in tree production.
If you have any questions about gardening or trees, let us know, and we might answer it on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.